Monica, what I heard you said, what'd you say your prayer request was? Yeah. You said you're looking for an apartment, and what was else? You did, where'd you do that at? Huh? You said you accepted Christ, where at? Just curious. Oh, okay. So we were all moving around, and I don't think we heard that, and there was not a great, great hallelujah, praise the Lord. And there should have been. So the Bible says, yeah. So if you say you came to know the Lord today, okay, I want to make sure I got that. There you go. So yeah. So yeah. So very good for you. And we'll follow up on that. Sound good? Awesome. So, well, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 21. I'm going to share some things with you tonight. I want to let you know that. We are all part of, we all have a family, and you know what, let's just get this out in the open. Your family is messed up. And my family is messed up, okay? I have messy stuff in our family. We have messy stuff in our family. And you know what, I guarantee you this, your family is all jacked up and messed up. And because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that you know everything, because sometimes they point a finger at you thinking that you are, that you think that you're perfect and you're better than everyone else. We're not saying that at all. But even us as believers, we have problems in our family, don't we? We have problems. You know, there's no perfect mother or father out there, right? There's no perfect parents out there, and there's definitely no perfect grandparents, okay? As much as we want to be perfect grandparents, we are not perfect grandparents. And also want to remind you of this. Your family has secrets. Yep. You might be part of it. Yeah. You might be carrying secrets tonight. You might be carrying a secret tonight. And you might be saying, in our family, we don't talk about those things because we just don't talk about those things because we keep our name and we want our name to be unblemished. Others will just trash your name anyway. They don't care. But we all have these, so we all have some secrets in our family. So tonight I want to share with you a story about Hagar. And as we're going to get ready to go to chapter 21, I want to remind you that in chapter 16, Hagar is a slave to Abraham and Sarai. I'm just going to call them Abraham and Sarah because if I go back then, I got to change their names to move them up. And I don't want to mess this up. Back then, the culture of slave was still not a great thing, but it was different. Some people gave themselves to be slaves and those things. And the thing was back then, if you weren't in a clan and you weren't with people, your longevity and survival rate was about nil to none, because there was always bands of people and raiders that would go out and they would capture people all over the world and do those kind of things. But Hagar is one that is part of that group. Now Abraham is probably about, Abraham's pretty wealthy. He's got a lot of things. God's blessed him in a lot of things. And so what we see here tonight is Sarah's a little upset. She's upset because she's older and she never had babies. And basically in that culture, a woman wanted to have babies and that was her pride and joy. If there was a feather in the cap, that would be having babies. And most of the time, a son was over the female, because just the way it was. Culture's different. Listen, if you want to try to figure out how wrong they were, you're not going to figure it out. Their culture is completely different than our culture. We learn from these on what we can and what God has for us to learn through. So what we see here is that. So Sarah says, you know what? I'm going to give you my servant here, and I'm going to give you my servant Abraham, and I'm going to give my servant to you, so that you can go together with her, and y'all can have a baby for our family. Pretty much the way it was. And he said, okay, sometimes when we make decisions, what we end up doing is kind of regretting some of those sometimes. And so Sarah's a little upset now that all that had happened. And so now she is mistreating Hagar, who is from Egypt. She is mistreating and complains and all those kind of things. And Hagar takes off. She runs away. That's very important. She runs away. As she runs away, God meets her and says, where are you going? Where are you from and where are you going? Now, sometimes when God asks a question in the Bible, he's not asking because he don't know. God's not asking because he don't know. He already knows. He wants that person to answer the question because he wants him in conversation. And he says, no, you need to go back. You need to go back. You're with child. You're pregnant. You need to go back. You're going to have a son. You're going to call him. His name's going to be Ishmael. And here's the thing. He's going to be a big ruler of a nation. He's going to be a big top dog. He's going to be a big guy. He's going to be a guy that's going to be, his whole nation's going to come from him. So she goes back. And now we're going to pick it up in chapter 21, verse 8. Now he grows a little bit. Ishmael grows a little bit. He's circumcised, all that. Now we go into some few years later. And what we come up is, Isaac is born. So what happens is Sarah ends up, and so the Lord has Abraham and Sarah, they get together in their old age, and old age, that may not sound right, but in their older ages, and they come together and get intimate, and actually the Lord blesses them, which it's not normally natural, but God does a miracle, and Sarah is pregnant. And she has a baby, and they call him Isaac. Now we see in chapters 21. Tonight I want you to see the heart of God. I want you to see the hardness of people. I want you to see tonight, I want you to see that God loves us even when we don't think that he does. And when you don't think that nobody loves you, I want to show you tonight that this is one of those special places in the Bible that we don't talk about much. You're going to see a touch of God in an amazing way. Here he goes. He goes in here in chapter 21, verse 8. And it says, the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham held a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. That was Sarah's and Abraham's son. But Sarah saw the son mocking the one Hagar, the Egyptian, had borne to Abraham. So she said to Abraham, drive out this slave with her son, for the son of this slave will not be the co-heir with my son Isaac. This was very distressing to Abraham because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not be distressed about the boy and about your slave. Whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her, because your offspring will be traced through Isaac. And I will also make a nation of the slave son Ishmael, because he is your offspring. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just also pray tonight that you'll be with us through these scriptures and through this word to see your softness, to see your love and your kindness, Lord. And tonight I pray, Father, that you would just speak to those, especially those, Lord, who are going through things that we're going to be talking about tonight, that they may know that they're not alone and that you are truly reaching out to them. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we see is we find out the families can't get along. Even with the great families of Abraham and Sarah, we find out that families struggle getting along. We find here that Hagar has her son, is Ishmael, and he's about 14 years old. He's already been circumcised. But Ishmael makes a few teenage kind of faces and things, and so Sarah saw it. She didn't like it, and she called it down and said, this is my house. I don't want them here anymore, because she's got her son now. And so this upset Abraham, because this is Abraham's son. Okay, this is Abraham's son. So Abraham has these two sons. But Sarah truly only had one that come from her body. But she also had one through a deal piece there. Said, but she didn't want to claim that one. They're going to be a co-heir with my son. So here it is. She didn't like that. And Sarah wanted to get rid of her, and get out of here, whatever. But God says something that seems to be somewhat like, God, does God even have a heart? But God says, don't be distressed about this boy. Don't be distressed about him. I'm going to take care of them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make him into a great nation. And sometimes it's like, I don't care about what, sometimes we feel like, I don't care about what's going to happen tomorrow. I want to care about what's happening today. But Abraham, it does distress him. It does distress him through this. But God has a plan for Ishmael. God has a plan for this. And then he goes in verse 14. Early in the morning, Abraham got up and took bread and the water skin and put them on Hagar's shoulders and sent her away and the boy away, and she left wandering in the wilderness of Beersheba. Here we find out that this little fuss came over in this little celebration of Isaac and his circumcision and all those things. And here we find out that there is a kind of a party celebration kind of a thing going on. And in the midst of it, it wasn't the guest that had the issue. It was the host. It was the family, and they're struggling. And so here it is, Abraham, early in the morning. Why? I believe it was early in the morning. I'm tired of hearing it. You've heard that? I'm sick of hearing it. He does it in the morning. He says, Sarah's causing this. I'm tired of this. I've got this one. I got this. This is a big mess. I'm going to deal with this in the morning. Y'all got to go. I don't know how many of you have been told you had to leave a home, but that is one of the hardest things I'm sure you've had to go through. Where you've been told that you have to leave a home, that you have to leave. Ishmael is in his very early teens, and he knows who his daddy is. And when he left, I want to tell you, when you leave, your daddy doesn't change. Your name of your dad or your mom doesn't change. Mom is going with her, but we also know that dad is also saying, you got to go. Now, God takes sometimes, this is amazing how God works. God can take what we think is a bad thing, and God can turn it around and make it an amazing thing. But what we see here is Abraham takes him out in the morning and says, here, I got to give you some resources. Now, there's other things that they probably took. People want to say, well, wow, Ishmael's 14, not even carrying the water skin. Why is Hagar carrying that? Here's the thing. I'm sure he was carrying something, but the key is it's going to be water, what we're going to be looking at here soon. So that is the thing that needs to be talked about. That's the thing that needs to be. There's a water skin that was put on Hagar's shoulders, and they were sent away. Got to go. Let me tell you, there's a door that always, you know, when you're in your home, you have a key to it. You can always go in and you can always go out because what? You're part of family. But when you're told in this kind of situation that it's almost like, give me your key, you can't come home. You can't come through the house. You can't come in like the way that you did. Now, some of you have been tossed out of your home maybe at some time in your life, maybe more than once. But so what we see here is we see that Hagar is pushed out. Now remember this, what we said in the beginning, Hagar, first of all, she ran away. She did what God told her to do and went back, and now she's being pushed out. She's got some things that's going on in her mind. What the world is going on? So here we got Ishmael, he's saying, my dad's pushing me out. He's not focused on anybody else. We know who he knows who his dad is. He is the boss of this whole area. He is the wealthiest guy. Here it is, he's being pushed out. What did I do? What did I do? Oh, it's my stepmom. What did I do? Hagar's over here saying, I did exactly what God told me to do. And here it is, an angel of the Lord spoke to Hagar. We don't see that a lot, but we see the angel of the Lord, we see God speaking to individuals that normal people wouldn't even want to talk to. And she does go back, and now she's being told to leave. This is a very confusing moment. You know what happens when you're confused? You make bad decisions. That's when you'll make your worst decisions, or when you're confused. This is an opportunity to make really bad decisions. Here's what we see. Here it comes now. Number 15. Verse 15. When the water in the skin was gone, she left the boy under one of the bushes and went and sat at the distance about a bow shot away. They use that, for she had said, I can't bear to watch the boy die, while she sat at a distance and she wept loudly. Wow. The water is the key here. When you can't survive without water, this is the Middle East, you can't survive without water. I'm going to take this boy, even though I'm going to put him over here and I'm walking away. This is what we do. When we have a problem, so many people want to walk away. So many people want to walk away. Well, it's easier for me to handle this if I just get rid of this person. Let me just remind you, you can change your friends, but you can't change your family. I believe in my own heart. I believe if he would have died over there, she was going to carry that the rest of her life. I left my son under a bush. And you know who she's going to blame? She's going to blame herself. Scripture says through this, we see that she has a heart for her son. She has a heart. She loves her son. She takes him over there and she just breaks down and she's crying. And she's crying about this whole ordeal. But what about Ishmael? Ishmael, all of a sudden now, he's sitting over here under this tree. What's he doing? He's sitting under this tree. Daddy done pushed me out. Now my mom left. Now who do you think is going to gravel up around him? He'll get weak, and we'll see that there'll be over there they have some lions and they have other things. And soon he gets weak enough, some animal's going to come and take over. He dies, they're just going to eat off of him. But he's over there thinking, what family do I have? My dad threw me out this morning. Now this afternoon, my mom's gotten rid of me. Sometimes we can feel like that. And we want to know why young people can be rebellious at times. And we get mad because they're rebellious and they act out and they do things. They don't know how to work it out because dad dumped them and mom has already walked out. And she said, that's how I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to go over here. Yeah, she had a heart. She cried for him. But here, I'm going to tell you. Here we go. Verse 17. God heard the boy crying. I just want to tell you right there. God hears every person who cries. And he also sees every person who mocks another person. He also sees every person who points a finger at another person. But God sees what's going on and he hears. The scripture says that God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid, for God has heard the boy crying from the place where he is. Get up, hurry up, and grasp his hand, and I will make him a great nation. Then God opened his eyes, opened up her eyes, and she saw a well. So she went and filled her water skin and gave the boy a drink. What do we see? We see some very important pieces here. One, we do see that God hears it. When God is on the scene, things can change. Number one, when God is on the scene and you let God be God, things can change. If you want to keep pushing God away, you want to keep doing it your way, well, then you're going to reap those benefits. You're going to reap it. You reap what you sow. But she already ran away in the past, so she already knew the voice of God. And here it is. Once again, the voice of God comes on. Here's what he does. He asks him the question again. What's wrong, Hagar? Getting her attention to focusly, solely on him. Sometimes God has to ask you a question because all we're doing is processing our problems, why they're so bad, and we blame everything and everyone else. And she's probably getting super mad at Sarah. Yeah, Sarah had an attitude, all those kind of things, and some, you know, all that stuff. But God says, listen, done. I want you to focus on me. What's wrong? So many times we have processing going in our brain when somebody asks us a question, we have no idea how to answer it. But he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy cry. You think he's crying because he's thirsty? I'm going to show you why he's not crying. I'm going to show you why he's not. He's crying. Not because he's thirsty. I'm going to show you why. He said, this is what you got to do first. You got to get up. You got to get up. Because you know what happens when we sit down and when we lay down? We get depressed. We get depressed, we get discouraged, we keep reliving the hardness and the things that breaks our heart. We keep reliving it over and over and over again, and we keep trying to figure it all out, and we can't do it. You can't fix what's already damaged, been done. You can't fix it. But yet we want to throw it, all those things. But God says, you get up, get up, get up out of that, get up out of the wathering, get up out of it. In my terms, he would say, get up, you're a mother. Get back over there. What's he say? Help him. Now, could God do all that on his own? God could do all that on his own. But he said, no, you get up and you get over there and you help him. You help him. So she tramples from where she's at. She's going over there. She's getting ready to help him. And then God says one of the most amazing things, I think, is amazing. He says this. Take his hand. That boy felt abandoned. And he was abandoned by everyone. And God says, I want you to go over there, and I want you to get up, go over there and help him, and I want you to do something. I just want you to take his hand. I didn't say to say anything or anything. I want you to take his hand. Let me tell you something. Sometimes people don't need to say anything. They just need a hug. They just need someone to pull them in on a what we call a side hug. We're so afraid to hug people because we're afraid we're going to be in somebody's going to call you out on something. Yeah, there are things that people do that are bad. We're so afraid to touch people. Don't touch me, whatever. I'm telling you, I just went through a mini conference yesterday and they were saying we have a crisis. This crisis came out by the health department and they said this, there is a problem in America and is that everyone is becoming isolated. I thought, wow, what did we stop doing in church? We stopped shaking hands at church. Say, hey, turn around and shake hands with somebody. Because we're so afraid. We're living in fear. God says, I want you to get up. I want you to go over there. I want you to take him by the hand. I want to tell you, some of you, I mean, I can touch you. I can give you your hand. It's just going to be, hey, how you doing? Great, whatever. But I'm telling you something. When a mama comes over and touches your hand, I'm telling you what, it's powerful and it makes a difference. It makes a difference, and it should make a difference. But the problem is, moms are not great. But even when mom's not great, and there's a lot of bitterness between mom, there's a lot of anger with mom, I'm telling you, when mom can really give a hand and really touch when you need it, it's still powerful. Some of us haven't had, you know, when a mom wants to touch you or whatever, you ought to let her touch you, even if you're angry with them. Moms are not perfect. Look at yourself. Could you raise yourself? How would you do raising yourself? Did you give your mom, dad hard problems, hard time? Could you imagine raising you? And God knows exactly what this boy needs. He needs somebody to know. He needs to know that someone still loves him. So he tells her, get up, get over there, and I want you to take his hand. You grasp his hand. Make that connection. Let him know that his mom, your mom, is still here. Get up, help the boy, and grasp his hand, for I will make him a great nation. Huh? If God says something in the past, God says something, he's going to do it. Chapter 16, he says, I'm going to make that boy a great nation. He was just in the womb of her. Now he's 14. I'm still going to make him a great nation. You don't see it right now, but I'm going to make him into a great nation. God had a plan for him, even though nobody else could see it. Abraham couldn't see it, really. They're doing their thing with Isaac. Isaac is the guy. There's a great peace all with Isaac and everything. But when we see, and then Sarah didn't want to hear it. She wanted to. So here it is. God says, I still have a plan. God's plans are always bigger than yours. It's always bigger than mine. And this is what we see here. God was with the boy. What? When you see the scripture says that God was with someone, man, that means God has his special, he has his eyes on that person, man. Everyone wants to give Ishmael a bad piece because of future things, what have you. But here he is. God was with the boy and he grew. He didn't die in the desert. He grew. And he settled in the wilderness and became an archer. And he settled in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt because that's where she was from. So he gets married. He does his thing and he begins to have a family. He has a family. But let me just tell you this. He has a family. But where is the changing moment? Where is the moment where it took him into that area where he could have a family? It's when his mom got up, became a mom, and really became a mom in a hard moment, came over, walked over, and grasped the boy's hand when he needed it. But families are hard. Families are tough. Yeah. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. I'm done. There's people. You got anybody in your family that won't talk to you? You got anybody in your family you won't talk to? But it's funny how life is, isn't it? You invite them to a party, they don't come. You invite them to a birthday party, they won't come. You invite them over to a holiday party, they don't come. You invite them over to celebrate something, they don't come. But when someone dies, people come out of the woodwork. And Abraham dies. And Abraham has some other wives and he has some other children. But Abraham now comes to the time when he breathes his last and they got to bury him. What does Scripture say? In chapter 25, it says his sons, Isaac and Ishmael. What? It didn't mention all the brothers. But it was Isaac, the one that all the bloodline's going to go through, and also Ishmael. I remember you. But here it is. Verse 7. This is the length of Abraham's life, 175 years. Whew, that's a long time. He took his last breath and died at a good old age and contented. And he was gathered to his people. Verse 9. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah. That's a tough one. And they buried him there. And what I want you to get out of that is, sometimes it takes a funeral to bring people back. Scripture doesn't give us a whole lot because Isaac's over here doing his thing and Ishmael's doing this thing. But somehow the words got around. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have mail. They didn't have, but people in passing say, how's my dad doing over there? How's my dad doing in the land? You know that guy named Abraham? Everybody knows Abraham. Word gets around. You got to tell somebody to tell somebody. It's hard to go back to a home where you're not welcome. And folks, not everybody is welcome in the home they were raised in. I wonder what they talked about, to be honest with you. I wonder what they talked about. I wonder if they embraced each other. Scripture doesn't tell us that, but what I do like about Scripture, it says they were together. Unfortunately, sometimes you got to remove some people before other people get together. I love the stories of Abraham. Abraham is a godly man. He's an amazing man. Love him. He's amazing. But God took something that wasn't good and turned it into something that God wanted to turn it into. And he used Ishmael. And he used Isaac in an amazing way. Always hear this, it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ishmael is never mentioned there, but Ishmael is mentioned in this story. And what I see is when somebody doesn't seem important, because Isaac was important, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We all, if you know your Bible, it's always the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I want to share with you, even though Ishmael wasn't the important guy on the list of the three, I want to tell you, God saw that he was still important. The people in your family you don't think important, God still says they're important. They're his creation. Whether they're out in the drug world or they're out living in a life they shouldn't, God still has a heart. And this is what he's doing, folks. He continues to tell people to get up and go over there and do something. And sometimes he can't tell a mom. Sometimes he can't tell a father. But he's got to tell an uncle. He's got to tell an aunt. Or he's got to tell somebody to get up, or just some stranger to get up, like the Good Samaritan. Get up, go over there and help them. And I want you to take them by the hand. All that is, folks, is an interpretation of exactly what Jesus does. Jesus sees you. You're over there and you ain't doing so hot. When he chooses to move, he moves. And he gives you opportunities. And what he does, he's doing this all the time. Listen, take my hand. You can't take a hand unless the hand is put out in front of you. I believe Jesus is doing that to a lot of people every day. Take my hand. Jesus says, come unto me who are heavy laden, heavy, burdened, and I'll give you rest. But here he says, take my hand. And you know what was really cool about this story? Hagar thought the number one reason, the number one thing, the reason why Ishmael is going to die is because we don't have any water. God knows what you need. But he knows what you need more. God took care of the water, but he didn't take care of the water until Hagar got up, went over, and took him by the hand. And then, the Bible says, then God opened up her eyes and she saw water. It's funny when you do what you're supposed to do, and then your eyes go open. What? There's my blessing. There's my answer to prayer. But wow, what did God do? When we ask for something, God gives us always so much more than we ask. Do you not think that Hagar, through that experience, and Ishmael, that they began to even a tighter bond? I believe that bond between the mom and the mother was even stronger after that moment. There's something that God wanted them to learn there. You need each other. And even though Abraham told him he had to go, and sometimes our Father tells us we have to go, and maybe you've been through that hardship, I want to tell you, there is a Father that's above all. I truly believe in this world, when I came to Christ, I had my mom, my dad, but I had also the big one. I had Father, my Father, who isn't going to die, who's always going to be there, who's always going to look over me, who I can always go to him as a child and grafted into the family of God. I'm a Gentile, just like you. Kind of like an Ishmael, kind of, in a way. I'm not true blood-born Jewish. But I'm a Gentile, just like you. I'm so thankful that God still watches. And I love that God hears the cries of people. Not just the cries of certain people, but hears the cries of all people. Sometimes we cry too many tears because we're not seeking God. Sometimes we're not reaching out and grasping the hand that he has out for us. Sometimes our family is going through harder times than it should because we're not letting God be God. Listen, family, life is hard enough. And man, families make it complicated. Because you know what the problem is with the family? Most of the time, everybody thinks they're right. And how dare that brother or that sister going to think it? They're going to get one over on me. Well, my dad has been telling me what to do all my life, and I ain't going to listen to him no more. Who's she to say that she can tell me what to do? And we struggle with that. Because families are messy. Families are sinful. So I want to challenge you tonight to take a look inside your own soul, inside your spirit, and let God do an examination there. And he might be telling you today that you need to get up and you need to be who you need to be. There's roles you got to do in this world. I'm an uncle, and I need to be a solid uncle. I'm a husband, and I need to be a solid husband. I'm a brother, I need to be a solid brother. I'm a son, and I need to be a solid son. I don't need to drop those things. Those are gifts. And you don't get to pick and choose your family. And if God is using you and you're the only one that knows Christ in that family, you got a great task ahead of you. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be easy. Because sin is just hard. It's hard to navigate through people that don't love you or don't like you, that don't live by you, and that don't live biblical ways. But God says, you don't change. You need to be who you need to be with the Lord, and you need to be reaching out, taking the hand, even if they live a lifestyle that's different, wrong, and sinful. Sometimes they're just waiting. Who's going to make the first move? Who's going to get on the phone first? Well, I'll never call them again. Father, you know each heart tonight. I am so thankful for this story. Just one of these stories that just kind of just there, we read it just for history, but we see so much of you in it. You spoke in it. Whenever you speak in Scripture, there's so much to learn. But Lord, you just didn't speak in this scripture, Lord. You even did a miracle, bringing forth water. You gave instruction. And you said something, Lord, in scripture that's different. It's just unique. You told someone to take someone by the hand. I've not seen too much of that in scripture. Maybe for a healing or something, but this is different. You told someone to take someone's hand. Not just take it, but to grasp it. Lord, you opened my heart and showing me how much you're showing, how much you love people. How much you really wanted Ishmael to know how much, and how much you wanted Hagar to know how much that they needed each other. You gave encouragement to a young boy who was giving up, and encouragement to a mother. I pray, Father, tonight as we get ready to open up these altars, that your will may be done, that our hearts may be sensitive to your spirit, and whatever it is that you would like for each person to do, that they would submit to your will. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.